At the moment and for a few months more, everyone in the United States is required to have health insurance. Sure, plenty of people still are not covered. And even those who are see big differences in what they get and in the quality of the medical services they get with their insurance. Even before the insurance requirement, Oregon began tinkering with its version of Medicaid, creating the Oregon Health Plan and expanding it in recent years. And research shows that OHP and its approach to health care may be making health care access and outcomes better for non-white people. K. John McConnell at Oregon Health and Science University, OHSU, led the research. He's a health economist at the director and the director of the Center for Health Systems Effectiveness. He's also an associate professor at OHSU in the Departments of Emergency Medicine and Public Health and Preventive Medicine. Dr. McConnell, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on the show.
So a health economist is not just about money, I presume. Talk about the kinds of economies you look for within healthcare.
Yeah, so a lot of what health economists do is look at health policy and then use economic and statistical methods to try to understand the impact of policies or potential interventions or things like that. Sometimes we're looking at costs, but a lot of times we're just trying to understand if a state enacts a policy or the federal government enacts a policy, what are the actual impacts of that. So a lot of this is more about the statistics and thinking carefully about incentives and frameworks and not so much about kind of traditional economies and dollar signs or things like that.
All right, not so much dollars, it's just the allocation of resources bigger than, and beyond the dollars themselves, sure. And you obviously, if you're going to be studying states and their policies, Oregon's an easy one to study because you're in it. And you have written earlier works about the Oregon Health Plan, Oregon's version of Medicaid and delivery. How different, as you compare to other states, is Oregon's approach?
Well, Oregon is pretty interesting, and I think a lot of us here don't really necessarily realize what a high profile or large profile Oregon has nationally. And so, you know, I think we often think of ourselves as this little state over in the corner. But if you go to national meetings or talk to others around the country, a lot of states are really looking at Oregon to see what it's doing with its Medicaid program, and it's been seen as a long time innovator. Tinkering with its Medicaid program and doing interesting things. Probably every 5 or 10 years, there's some interesting change that Oregon does that attracts a lot of interest, and so that's been made it a fun place to be and to study policy. Partly because I care about Oregon, but partly because people outside of Oregon care about what's happening in the state.
And the other wrinkles that have come along over the years, I mean, since OHP was originally created, the idea of the CCOs, the Coordinated Care Organizations, those are pretty much at the center of the latest research. What were they set up to do?
Well, CCOs were those were implemented in 2012, and there was a lot there, but I think from my perspective, the original most interesting thing was that they were given what's called a global budget, which was for every member that they had, they got a certain amount of money, and then they were supposed to manage all of their population, their Medicaid members, using that money, and they had some limits on how fast their healthcare spending would go up each year. And so I think most of your listeners know that healthcare spending is a challenge nationally, and that healthcare spending is quite large in the U.S. And to a certain extent, what Oregon's Medicaid program did was really kind of create the largest, most systematic attempt to hold a health system accountable for the growth in healthcare spending. And so they sent a rate of 3.4%. All of the CCOs had to hit that benchmark over the last 5 years. And while they were doing that, they had to show that they were also improving quality, or at least holding quality constant, so that they weren't getting cost savings by providing poor care, but they were providing care in a different way. And so that was kind of the first wave of our studies, was to try to understand whether that change in the CCOs, and whether the CCOs, when they were given this global budget and given some opportunities to change the way that they provide care and interacted with physicians and hospitals, if they could get better outcomes for a lower dollar cost. And our studies suggest that they were pretty successful in the first 5 years in doing that.
We are talking about healthcare outcomes and access, particularly for minority groups, with Dr. John McConnell, a health economist at OHSU in Portland. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone, or questions and comments go to email at jx@jeffnet.org. So when the CCOs were first created, the coordinated care organizations, was it just like you have X number of patients you're responsible for, so multiplied by X number of dollars, here's what you get to work with?
Close to that. They did something called risk adjustment, which was they looked at the different patients that they have. And so if you had, so for example, children are pretty inexpensive relative to a regular adult. And so if you had, so you got a little bit less money if you had children than relative to some adults. Medicaid covers a lot of pregnant women, and so that's a pretty expensive population to pay for admission to a hospital and a birth, and so you got a little bit of extra money if you had pregnant women. But so it's close to what you said, but then some adjustment for some of those populations, so you got a little bit less money for kids, a little bit more for pregnant women, and so on.
So if you're not on the Oregon Health Plan, do you ever come in contact with a CCO?
Well, probably not too much. What the CCOs were supposed to do was to put in some efforts to address community health, and so there were some things that were speaking a little bit to public health that might affect anybody in the region. But I would say that was sort of a second or third order effect, and not something that most people would experience.
All right. So the results you're finding, and the most recent article published last month, is called "Oregon's Emphasis on Equity Shows Signs of Early Success for Black and American Indian Medicaid Enrollees." It's written by you, John McConnell, Christina Charlesworth, Thomas H. A. Meath, Ronnie George, and Hyunji Kim. What measurement? First of all, what measurements did you look for?
We were looking at, so I think to step back, there's been, this is not just something that's unique to Oregon, but looking across the country, there's been a longstanding series of what are called disparities in healthcare measures and outcomes when you look at primarily look at white people or white patients and compare them to minority patients, black or American Indian or Hispanic. And often what you see is that they don't get access to health care in the same ways. They don't get the same types of opportunities for surgeries or treatments that might make their care better. When they do go see providers, a lot of times their quality is worse. And so this is pretty well documented. And so there have been a variety of efforts by different groups or providers or health plans to try to address this. And what Oregon did that was unusual, I think, is they sort of looked at their Medicaid program, and they said, well, the Medicaid program covers a lot of low-income individuals. It covers a lot of minority populations. And so in addition to the main goal of the CCOs to try to control cost, we can also ask these CCOs to do something to try to address some of the disparities that we know exist within the state. And so there's a lot of ways you could measure that. We kind of did the quickest and easiest one, which was to use the available claims data coming in from the CCOs to see if measures of access to care, emergency department use, some measures of quality of care, what those look like before the CCOs went into place and what they look like after the CCOs went into place. And so there were, for example, some pretty big differences after you accounted for age and sickness. People who were enrolled in CCOs who were black used primary care much less than people who were white. And we saw with the CCOs going into place that gap shrank some. There was a similar gap between white and American Indian patients or enrollees, and that gap shrank some after the CCOs went into place.
How much shrinkage are we talking about here?
About 30%. So for the gap between white and American Indian enrollees, that essentially disappeared, and it got smaller. For the gap between white and black enrollees got smaller. So it didn't totally disappear, but trended in the right direction. And that was that was the biggest change we saw, was in the area of primary care. There were some other differences, higher use of the emergency department by Black and American Indian enrollees. That didn't really budge. I think that might be a harder one to change. So this wasn't sort of an unqualified success, but suggestion of sort of some movement in a positive direction.
Healthcare and equity and equality is what we're talking about with K. John McConnell from OHSU. He's a health economist and the director of the Center for Health Systems Effectiveness, looking at the Oregon Health Plan and the results it has achieved. The most recent publication is called Oregon's Emphasis on Equity Shows Signs of Early Success for Black and American Indian Medicaid Enrollees. Your thoughts? Maybe you're a minority member and have been encouraged to use the primary care doctor more. Let's hear from you at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So what are the levers here? I mean, does the CCO, what are the pathways ways to which it says, you know, it's better if you go see your primary doctor?
Well, there were really three things that Oregon did around this issue of disparities. So the first, and two of them really aren't so much related to the CCOs specifically. One of them was that they created regional health equity coalitions, and so these are outside of CCOs. They're designed to bring in members of the community around Oregon, and then those RHECs, we call them, regional health equity coalitions.
I figured that's what any kind of there's a heck in the name, you're going to use the heck.
Right. Yeah. They would go to the CCOs and say, here's what we hear from our community members. If you're Hispanic, it's hard to get access to care because all of the information is in English language and there's not much that's offered in a bilingual context. And so as long as you're printing out information, why don't you do it in multiple languages? That's just one example. Sometimes they would advocate for somebody on the board of the or for the CCO board meetings to have on the agenda something around what was happening in disparities. So one part of this effort to address disparities was through these RHECs, or regional health equity coalitions. Another thing that the state did was they employed trained a lot of community health workers. And these are not physicians, but people who know the community, who can create links between people in the community and the healthcare system. And the idea there is that they're maybe helping people who have some needs but don't know how to access care, find ways to get the care they need in a way that's sort of more comfortable for them or overcome some of the barriers that they might have in the absence of those. And so Oregon trained about 500 community health workers around the state to help in that area. And then the third thing they did that I think might have been most responsible for some of the results that we're seeing was that all of the CCOs were required to put together transformation plans and say this is what we're going to do over the next year, and these are the things that we're going to do to change the way that we provide care. And that may sound kind of easy. Okay, I'm going to put together a plan and say what I'm going to do. But you can imagine the difference between plugging along and providing care and not really thinking about it versus if you write down on paper, we're going to look at our data and see where there are disparities and then try and do something around that. All of a sudden, you're looking at your data and you're seeing these gaps and seeing these big differences and perhaps deciding to do some outreach or to address other barriers in care that might reduce disparities. And so I think one of the things that happened with the CCOs that was different was that for the first time they started looking at their own data and breaking it down by race and ethnicity and trying to understand some of the differences that existed that before might have existed but nobody was really paying attention to.
So they're not being surprised by their own data at this point. They can say, oh, look, we got an issue here. Let's address this.
Yeah, exactly.
So from some of this, particularly with the regional health equity coalitions and the outreach from the community health workers, it sounds like people have, in essence, been invited to see a doctor.
I think that's the goal of that. I mean, I think we don't have any actual evidence of that actually happening, but I think that that's the design is to to invite people to see a doctor, or if they have unmet needs, to get those needs taken care of.
And yet, one of the things that doesn't seem to budge, as you mentioned, is visits to the emergency room. So people still using that for primary care?
Well, probably some of that happening. I think I think some of that is probably still happening. It's always hard to, you know, I think that's sort of the kind of the concern is that the emergency department gets used for primary care. When you actually sort of break it down and look in the details, it turns out that that's a pretty small percent of what's happening in the emergency department. And for a lot of things, it's stuff that it happened in the hours when the primary care office was closed, or it actually is something that that could have been an emergency and, you know, was hard to differentiate at the point of time of showing up.
So, John, I don't know if you have any stories that came out, or if it was just data you were working with. I wonder if there's any way of knowing if some people are actually seeing a doctor on a regular basis, maybe for the first time in their lives.
That's a good question. That's not something that we looked at or that we had data on this. We really kind of were looking across the whole population.
All right. We have an email here from Mike in Medford who wants to know if Ford's going to lead the way in transition to a single-payer system, which he sees as the fairest system for all classes and backgrounds. Let me roll that into a larger last-minute question about whether there are recommendations that jump out of this work for you, John.
Yeah, so I think I don't have a comment about single payer. I guess, you know, there's a lot of enthusiasm among some for that effort. I think, you know, politically it's been proven to be quite a challenge across a lot of states. I think in addition to this work, we just finished a larger evaluation of the Oregon CCO project. And so we had a few recommendations that came out of there. I think the one that might be of interest to your listeners is really trying to move the needle on how the CCOs pay for care. And so there's a traditional way of paying for care that probably looks like what most of us are used to, which is every procedure, every touch, everything that you do when you interact with the medical system gets paid on a fee-for-service basis. And so the more you do to somebody, the more intensive it is, the more you get paid. And so there's incentives to pay for lots of intensive, high-volume services, but not necessarily incentives to pay for a healthier population. Moving away from paying for volume or paying for intensity to paying for a healthier population is, I think, the goal of all health systems, but the roadmap isn't clear, and it's hard to change the way that you pay for care. And so we had some suggestions around how to sort of make more steps in that direction and help move away from the fee-for-service system to things that we think are probably would lead to a higher value, better outcome, lower cost system.
We're going to take a few more minutes here with John McConnell from OHSU about the research into equity in the healthcare system and the lack thereof, and how that is being addressed by the Oregon Health Plan and the Coordinated Care Organizations, the CCOs. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So were there any particular surprises? I mean, I suspect that as you compiled the data in the first place, you had a feeling where things were going to be going.
I think the biggest surprises for this particular project, looking at issues of disparities, was really the lack of some disparities that popped out at the baseline between white and Hispanic populations. And so I think we know anecdotally that those exist. Our measures are very blunt, and so they may be missing things. But Oregon, relative to a lot of other states, doesn't have a large African-American population, but does have a reasonably sized Hispanic population. And so I was anticipating that when we did our first cut of, you know, where are the differences, that we would see bigger differences between white Medicaid enrollees and Hispanic Medicaid enrollees. But those differences were not really significant. Where we did see big differences were between white enrollees and black enrollees, and white enrollees and American Indian enrollees. So that, I think, that sort of popped out. I think, you know, there's, I guess I have some skepticism about those results and that the claims data might be too blunt to pick out some of the differences that we hear anecdotally exist. But I think that was a little bit of a surprise to us.
Is there much room, do you think, for further narrowing? I mean, the idea, the goal is to make sure that everybody has the same access at some point. But I mean, is that likely to happen?
I think one of the interesting things here is how do you make that happen? And so one of the real success stories that we saw out of the CCOs over the last 5 years, this is not speaking about issues of equity, but sort of generally the CCO performance, was that CCOs got paid to they got bonuses if they improved their quality on about 17 measures. And so the state picked 17 measures around. Some are on access, some are on mental health care, and so on, that if the CCOs hit those targets, they got pretty significant bonuses. And so we looked in our study to see where quality improved and where it didn't improve. And it turns out, no surprise, that CCOs were very responsive to this pay-for-performance effort, and that they really improved quality when they knew they would get bonuses for doing that. In other areas where they might care about it, but they weren't incentivized financially, we saw quality kind of basically be flat over time. And so we saw big changes where there was incentives and not much change where there weren't incentives. And that kind of then begs the question of, well, can you design incentives to reduce these health disparities? And there have been some baby steps in that direction, but that turns out to be a harder nut to crack. And the easiest reason to understand why that's a challenge is if I told you that I want you to improve your breast cancer screening rate, and I just went to you and I said, your breast cancer screening rate is 60%, you get paid more if you bring it up to 80%, it's clear. That's a clear conversation. You know what to do. If I told you that the gap between your black enrollees and white enrollees was 10%, that becomes a funny thing, because one way you can reduce that gap is just by providing worse care for your white enrollees.
Ah, okay.
And that's not really what we want.
No, not at all. Okay, the report is called Oregon's Emphasis on Equity Shows Signs of Early Success for Black and American Indian Medicaid Enrollees, published last month. John McConnell, the principal author from OHSU in Portland, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take it easy.